The Burt Show.
All right, so let's try to define here, Jeff, what the social bomber is. The social bomber is a person that when you're out or what have you, and you're amongst your group and you're having a great time, you're getting your buzz on, you're in the middle of conversation, this is a person that enters the group and instantly is the buzzkill, starts to dominate the conversation and makes it so difficult for everybody around you that the fun's over at that point.
I can think of the perfect example because this is a bomb. It's like the equivalent of throwing a giant bucket of fire on a bucket of water on a little fire, because it immediately and instantly smothers the whole thing. And back, what was it, like 6 or 7 months ago when they opened that W in Midtown, and that one's Whiskey Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up on top. They had the grand opening party for Whiskey Park, and that dude, Randy Gerber, was on our show that morning.
Yeah, he's really, really not attractive.
Right.
Really glad that he...
You're being sarcastic.
Totally sarcastic. The women on Thursday night were like swooning. Sorry.
Well, he was so not attractive that Jessica wanted to meet him at Whiskey Park. And because, you know, I was able to, Brown knows a little bit when he was here that morning. I saw him walking through the bar and I go, hey, Randy, thanks for coming on the radio this morning, blah, blah, blah. And I introduce him to Jessica and they actually have a little bit of a connection and are talking, I think, about Arizona. And out of nowhere comes this social bomber who is a well-known social bomber in our circle. And he pops right up. And it's the three of us talking about Tucson, Arizona. And all of a sudden, boom! Hey, great place you got here!
Oh.
And he, because, I mean, he's in the nightclub business, right? So he has social bomber sense. Randy does.
Yes.
So Randy goes, yep, I gotta go. And that was the end of it. And
it's a little bit like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, just kind of like, Ben, you know, like the guys that know how to get around it can get around it, but the rest of us are stuck there in the wake.
It took 1 second. Boom. Fire everything out. Gone.
It generally happens to somebody. Yes. It generally is somebody that's from outside of your group. And
yes.
You're having either a one-on-one or your group is just hanging out and you're all vibing off of each other. And then some outside person comes in and starts to dominate the conversation. And then when they're done, they continue to hang out.
It's not a complete outsider. It's a fringer.
A fringer. But the social bomber also doesn't have the skills to hang around the conversation long enough to listen to maybe what's going on and then maybe start participating slowly. They just come in and usually completely change the subject.
Totally. Totally. They can't get in a sly way. Right. They come in.
I can't just ease
in. It's like throwing a big boulder in the water. It's done.
Yes. You know?
Then there's the me variety, which is like you're sitting there and you're talking about how... Like, maybe you're having a conversation with somebody about maybe you got some plane troubles down to Florida and you had to connect to two flights and everything, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, oh, man, that sucks. Would you get there in time? How was the convention? I got connected wrong once. I had to go to Charlotte. I was going to Chicago, and they connected me through Charlotte.
They're yelling.
Why isn't anyone paying attention to me?
Yeah, and the problem is if you're the social bomber, you don't know you are. And as Jeff said before, even though we're describing you right now, you still probably have zero idea that you're that person. Hey, Sean, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how's it going, Bert?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I can honestly say my wife is a social bomber.
Really?
Oh, no.
I mean, no matter whether I'm talking to the kids, we're at her parties with her coworkers, I can get along with anybody, talk to anybody, get a conversation going with them, and, I mean, she comes right in and kills it. I'll start telling a story, and she'll say, No, you didn't. This is what happens. I'm thinking... Okay, I had a whole complete conversation going on here, and now she's trying to call me out on everything I'm saying, so finally I just have to walk away from the whole situation.
You're a little bit nervous when you go out with your wife in public, aren't you, like when you're hanging out with friends?
Yeah, it's almost to the point where when she says she has a social event for her job, kind of thinking, okay, I'll just kind of mingle with the people that she's not talking to, and hopefully she won't come over there and interrupt the conversation.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad. You need to help train her on not being a social bomber.
You have to somehow, some way, educate her. And I don't even know how to do it, man. Because the first thing you have to say is, I have to let you know something.
Can you tell a social bomber that they are the social bomber, or do you just got to let it go?
You got to let it go because
they wouldn't know.
I've been with her for 19 years. And believe me, I've gotten to the point where as soon as she starts getting into the conversation, I just get quiet or I just walk away. It's with the kids. It's got so bad, it's with the kids. One story I was telling the kids about M&M's, they melt in your mouth, not in your hands. And we were making up a theme song for my daughter's class. And she comes right in and says, "Oh, that's not true. I've had M&M's melt in my hands and everything else before." I said, "Any piece of chocolate melt in your hand if you hold it long enough. It's just their catchphrase." And she started arguing back and forth how easy it is and everything else. My daughter got all upset and cried about it.
You can feel the energy in the conversation or the room just deflate.
They suck it
right out.
Here's,
man.
You know what maybe we should do? Because a social bomber would never recognize themselves as a social bomber. Like, here are some symptoms of the bomb. Like, if you have called, if I call Jen, Wendy, and Bert all separately to find out what's going on tonight, because Friday night, we're all going, I know everybody goes out. They all like to go out, so there's something going on, and Jen pulls the, "I'm not really sure," and Wendy's like, "I don't think I'm going out," and Bert doesn't answer his phone. But then I walk into Dantana's or whatever, and the three of you are there together. That is a sign that I might be the social bomber.
Or if the group's having a conversation and it's immediately silent, you are the social bomber. As soon as everyone flees.
Now, I'm going to put Doug on the voice disguiser here, and then we have a virtual listener that doesn't want to be on the voice disguiser that claims she knows she's a social bomber.
Oh, no.
Maybe we can help her.
Hey, Doug, go ahead. You're on the voice disguiser.
You got to put me on the voice disguiser because I'm an educator, and we all listen to the Bert Show and the break room and everything, so yeah. I don't want anybody knowing. But one of the teachers there, oh, my God, we just cannot have a conversation with her. If we're in the lounge, we're talking about something that's very personal, like the two people are connecting, and she comes in. If I have to hear another story about her kids again, the same stories that we've already heard, and we don't want to hear them again, she just kills everything in every conversation. It's so bad that when the kids are having fun in her class, I've been in there, they're having fun, and she comes over, and they're like instantly don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah.
Social bomber. The kids don't even want to have a conversation with her anymore.
The problem here also is that once you're an established social bomber, I don't think your status can ever change.
Yeah, it's
she's
difficult.
Older too, so she's like had a lot of practice at it too, and it's like.
Yeah, because you spot her from a mile away. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
She's on her way.
And they
she's
never,
coming to bomb the they, conversation. Whatever good conversation is going on is about to end.
They generally don't ever pick up on it that nobody wants to talk to them because they've just established this. That's it. Socially, it's over. When you come into the circle, it's all done. That's it. Dead.
That's sad.
Martha says she knows she's a social bomber.
Oh, no, really?
Hey, Martha.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
It's about to get sad, isn't it?
Well... Yeah, I think it's kind of bad at times.
Is it something that you know you do, like, when you're drinking or something, or how do you know?
Well, the reason I know is just because, you know, well, like you guys said, you're having a conversation, and then you're the, oh, this happened to me. Well, I always do the, it's me or something like that.
So you can't help but share your own story. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, I always have to include myself in it, and it just gets all quiet.
Oh, sweetie.
So if you know that, why don't you maybe change that and just listen to what other people are talking about and participate maybe more slowly where it doesn't have to be about you?
It's kind of hard because I'm, like, the spoiled little girl, and I was, like, such a daddy's girl that all the attention I have my other two brothers, but it's always been about me, so... I've tried to just, like, stay quiet and not say anything, but I just can't help it.
That's almost as awkward. If you have somebody that comes in to the conversation and doesn't say anything, that's as awkward as being the social bomber. I'd rather you try to say something than just stalky on the periphery person.
Well, there's no point staying there.
It's better to be a social bomber than a lurker.
Yeah, I don't even know how to correct it except to say, like Jen said, you know, take the word me and I out of your vocabulary and then talk about what everybody else in the circle is talking about. Because generally, like Jen said, the social bomber instantly turns the corner and there's no relatable story. It's just completely separate.
It's like me. You become the one-upper. And I think a good thing for social conversations that might help you, Martha, is ask questions. You know what I'm saying? Because then you're interested in what the person is saying who's talking. So ask them further questions about what they're talking about. And then that helps you get into the conversation without seeming like a totally self-centered social
bomber.
Maybe
you should take Martha out with your friends this weekend. And
I think she can practice on her own.
This is an assignment. This could be your own private homework assignment. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Here's another way to tell that you're the social bomber. If you come around the corner, right, even at a party you were invited to, like they had to invite you because it's, you know, it's your mom's birthday, and you come around the corner, and the group of people breaks up like a football team.
Ready?
Coming out of huddle.
Moving to the line, yeah. Like, then you know you're the social bomber.
Sad.
Tamara, just really quickly here.
Yeah, my son hangs with my mom, and he's becoming a social bomber really fast. Man. It happened at Christmas. And unfortunately, he wanted to put 2 cents into everything, and everyone wants to walk off. And he's only 13.
There's still time for you to train him not to be the social bomber.
I'm trying, but he likes hanging with my mother, and she's the worst social bomber ever.
Cut her off immediately.
Everything.
Cut her off immediately and don't ever allow her around your children ever again. You have to burn the village in a case like this.
The Burt Show.
We have to get Whitney on with the voice disguiser.
That's not her real name.
No, it's not her real name. She's using a pretend name, and she's on the voice disguiser because she's in kind of a tough position with her boyfriend of 4 years.
Okay.
Hey, Whitney.
Hey.
Hey.
How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
I'm going to read your email, then we will discuss.
Okay.
Because Jen and Melissa and Wendy haven't heard this yet, but I'll paraphrase part of it, and then the important stuff I'll read your words exactly. But you've been in a committed relationship for 4 years.
Yes, I have.
And have done some snooping. Now, let's start there. You snooped because you were suspicious, or?
I've never really snooped before. He's had a lying problem in the past, and I thought we had got through that. And he's just been really moody lately for no reason. I mean, you know, mood swings all the time. He's always mad at me. And, you know, I was just wondering what was going on. So
she found online, and this is where I'll start reading verbatim, an online profile describing, quote, what he likes and wants in a woman. He is listed on there that he is single and up for anything. The website his profile is on is a meet for sex website. It even has live webcams where members can chat together. From what I saw, he has not met anyone, but the profile is very recent, and the thought of him making one makes me sick to my stomach. He says he is looking for a fun girl, but absolutely nothing serious. He is looking for one-on-one dating, swingers, and flings.
So he's not only operating this, he's also trying to find somebody on this.
Right.
Right.
He's doing both. Okay.
So
I thought if he's just operating it.
Oh no! This is him.
He's participating.
He's putting it out there. And then your email ends with, "We've been talking about marriage lately, and finding this profile makes me think twice about whether I should get out or stay."
Well, yeah,
yeah.
I don't make you think about it. I mean, it'd make me sick too. And I mean, he's. I don't know.
I would just try to catch him in it.
I mean, I haven't confronted him yet about it at all. I don't even know what to say. I'm just so shocked and disgusted. And
quick question for you. Okay. Why wouldn't you leave?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're right. I mean, I've only told two of my friends about this, my closest friends that I've known for years, and both of them think that this is just ridiculous. And that even, you know, even if he wasn't intending a meeting, by the fact that he would go into this much detail that, you know, he's not trustworthy, obviously.
I mean, I think when you care about somebody, then you try to give as much of the benefit of the doubt. But, I mean, just listen to what you said. Even if he wasn't intending to meet anybody, if I went to the trouble to set all this up and to set up this account and everything.
And webcams and
online chats, and I had thought about it prior to doing it. Then I'm intending to do something with it. Like, I'm, exactly. You know, if I'm bored, I can find something else to do.
We get into issues over my MySpace, you know, and I'm thinking on there, I'm in a relationship. I tell about him. There's pictures on there about with us, and to find out he made this, I'm just.
Well, of course he's going to get mad. I mean, he's guilty.
Yeah.
The,
Let me just, Jeff, just follow up. So on MySpace, does he have a MySpace page? You said this
he
is an issue.
He does not. He doesn't have a Facebook or a MySpace.
Okay, okay. All right.
So when was it that you found this?
I found this on the 22nd.
So it's like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
It's been a while. I'm at a loss, like, you know, and the thing is, his mood swings have gotten even worse since then. And I even printed out a copy of it that way, you know, because I know when I confront him, he's going to lie.
I wouldn't even confront him. I'd set up my own webcam, create my own profile, and then just go on there and be like, hey.
Be like that Pina Colada song thing.
So for a week and a half, you have been his girlfriend and have just been stayed in the relationship. How?
I don't know. I have, the only contact I've really had with him is this past weekend, you know. I mean, I go to school full time and I just, tell him I'm busy and he goes to school. So, I mean, I'll talk to him on the phone. But other than this weekend, I really haven't hung out with him.
So you're in love with this guy, right?
I am. Yeah.
And so finding all of this makes you realize you don't know who he is.
Yeah. It's just, I can't believe that he would do this. It's just so gross to me.
I tend to be a woman with a temper, and I'm shocked at how I don't hear a tinge of anger in your voice. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm angry, but I've had a week to, think about it. And I mean, when I first found it, I was shaking. I just wanted to call him because, I mean, I'm usually really upfront about things. Like,
so why?
I'm the one to confront you if I find something out.
And so a week and a half of absorbing this anxiety and stress, and I'm just confused by your reaction.
Like,
because
why,
I don't really think that you're going to do anything. You're not going to leave or do anything, or you're still going to get married to him, and then you're going to ask yourself later why. I wonder why he's continued to cheat on me.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what one of my best friends, she's like, you're stupid if you don't say anything, you know. I mean, she's the one that told me, to wait it out, though, and, then let him know.
But wait for what?
Yeah, but what are you waiting for?
I don't know. You're right. I was waiting to talk to you guys, actually. I wanted to, hear somebody's opinion, because I didn't really have anyone to,
Well, you know what?
Than my girl.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll be fair. That we've got phones here, obviously. So 404-741-Q100. We will take calls from anyone who thinks that she should give him another chance.
Okay.
So we'll see if you're looking for opinions. We're just the only calls that we're going to take. After we talk to Jack, the only calls that we're going to take are going to be from people who think you should stay in the relationship. And I have a feeling you'll be off the phone in 3 minutes with no calls.
Okay.
Why, when you first found that, did you just not turn off the computer and walk out of the house?
I was actually at my house. We don't live together. And I was on my computer when I found it. And it was really late at night. We had just gotten to a big blowout argument, And earlier that day, he was on his laptop. And he got really, squeamish when I came around him. And I was just like, that's really odd. So, I found it on his email, actually.
Do you mind me? Have we asked how old you are?
I'm 19.
Okay. I think that explains a lot.
Run.
That explains a lot. And I'm not saying that in an insulting way, because I think you're putting this energy and you want this to work and you're trying to do your part to make sure it works and forgive and everything. And I just think that, I'll just say it, I don't think you're experienced enough to know that you're wasting your effort on this guy.
Yeah, and that's what I was telling my friend. I was like, I feel like if I had a few serious relationships under my belt before this happened, I would, my reaction would be different.
Mm-hmm. I think you find it would be.
We're not getting in there.
I don't want to be stuck in this and this be how it's going to be, because, I'm so sweet, and I'm just disgusted at this, and
Then get out.
Hey,
trust me.
Hey, Carla.
Yes.
What's up?
What's up? Tell her I said kick him to the curb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can tell her. She's on with you.
Yeah. She's listening.
Yeah. Listen. I mean, a spade is a spade is a spade, okay?
Okay.
But what if he could change? Don't you think he could change, Carla?
He can change. A leopard don't change their spots. And not overnight.
Who's your friend?
They don't change their spots. So you just need to just try. Just go ahead. I know you're in love. And, sometimes you have to learn hard lessons, even in love. So if you could just, You don't need them. You don't need them because you're too good for them, okay?
Thank you. I love your friend in the background.
I want to hear your friend.
Hey, Carla, can we talk to your friend?
Yeah. Oh, did you leave?
Hey, Carla.
I'm still here.
Yeah, can we talk to your friend?
Talk to my friend? Oh, this is my husband. Here.
You oh, yeah, let's talk to your husband.
Here you go. All right.
What's up, Bert?
Hey!
So what's so funny?
Hey, I'm married to this woman. I love y'all. That's why I laugh myself silly.
Do you agree with her advice?
Yep, I'm whatever she says, yes, ma'am. Hey, I'm taking her out for her birthday. Whatever she says goes. Aww. I know better. I love y'all. Listen to you every morning.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Hey, what's your name?
It's Darren. That's why I was laughing so hard. She said, call him. I said, hold on, I'm going to call him. And while she had you on the phone, I just almost crashed the car. I had to pull over.
Thank you guys for calling.
Thank you. Y'all made my day.
All right. Happy birthday. Sweet.
Hey, Whitney, we're not finding anyone.
Okay.
I
didn't think you would. It's ridiculous. And I am mad. I may not sound mad, but...
Let me just tell you. You're so young. So you don't have to sign up for anything that's going to last forever. I mean...
Don't marry this guy.
Yeah, just...
Don't marry him.
I mean, value who you are more than putting up with this.
Don't marry him.
But until she figures that out for herself, she's going to stay with him.
Good luck to you, Whitney.
Thank you.
The Bert Show.
Emily's going to join us in just a couple minutes. She'll be on The Voice Disguiser. She was originally on with us about a week and a half ago talking about her desire to join the military.
I've always wanted to go into the military, never did, and I've always regretted it. And somehow or another, that was thrown up that, hey, maybe I should consider that. We could move. We'd have a place to live. I could get training. I could get a job. And
what was your husband's reaction when you guys started talking about it?
Well, initially, I think he thought I was joking, and I brought it up again and said, you know, hey, this is something that I'd really like your input on, because I don't think I'm completely crazy. And, you know, we did have another discussion about it, and we're both kind of in agreement that we would like to know more about it and that it's not that bad of an idea.
So that was about a week and a half ago, and Emily, if I'm not mistaken, Emily actually had an appointment with a recruiter that got canceled. Right, Emily?
Yeah, that's correct. We did have an appointment, and he canceled on us. So,
So that's not stressful at all. It's not like you're making a big life decision that you really want to track.
Yeah, I know.
So have you met with him since?
We did. We actually made another appointment, and we went to meet with him last week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it went very well. Me and my husband both went with him. We brought our list of questions. We had as many questions as we could think of, covering everything from A to Z. And basically, you know, I was kind of worried that we might be rushed in and out, or that we might not have time to get all our questions asked or whatever. And we were the only people there. We had, I think we spent 2.5 hours with him asking
That's
everything
awesome.
Possible. And me and my husband both left feeling like he was being as honest as possible. I don't want to say 100% honest, but we both felt that he was being very honest with us about how things work and the possibility of this happening, or, you know, the pros and cons of it. And we were both very, you know, pleased with the answers we got. So basically the next step that you go from talking with the recruiter is you make the decision if you are still interested after you get your questions answered. And then you decide to go to something called MEPS, which is I forget exactly what it stands for, but it's in Atlanta, and you do, it's a 2-day thing. You do your physical one day, and then you do your ASVAB test, and your physical results and your ASVAB test score results let you determine what kind of job you will be going into training for.
Mm-hmm. And what branch is this? What branch is this, by the way?
Air Force. I'm sorry.
Air Force. Okay.
And when you're and are you still, when you take this test, have you committed to the military at this point?
No. And that's what we like so much about it is
like I said, the ASVAB and physical determines what kind of job you can get. And basically, you get to pick 5 or 6 jobs out of a particular area that they give you. And you pick the, you pick 5 or 6 jobs. You may get one of those. You may get none of those, just depending on the availability and what they need right now in the Air Force.
We should take that test.
Still, up until that point, you haven't signed anything. And about 2 weeks later, the recruiter will actually call you and say, okay, you know, all the jobs have been assigned. This is the one that you've ended up with. And at that point is when you either make the commitment or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't. So you know what job you're going to get, and do you know where it is at that time?
Well, you know where the training is going to be, and I don't think you know exactly where that's going to be. I think you find that out a month into your technical school, because you're, as soon as you leave the basic training, which is 8 weeks, then you go straight to your technical school to train for 4 to 6 months for your selected job. And I think you find out your first month where you'll be moving.
And what did they say about family time? Because that was sort of your original concern. Was
that is my concern.
Your husband and your child.
For the basic training, which is 8 weeks, you you pretty much don't have any contact with them except an occasional phone call. It's pretty much limited as to, you know, who you can talk to, what you can do. After that, like I said, you have your technical school. Well, I did find out that if your school is longer than 5 months, your family can actually move with you to wherever the technical school is. Mm-hmm. There's bases in Texas, there's bases in California and Mississippi, but your family can move with you. So I'm hoping that if that were to happen, I would look up and get something that the training would be a little longer than 5 months so they could come with me. If not, then I would be looking at going to school for, you know, 4 months or whatever and being away from them. Now, mm-hmm. during that period, they could travel to see me. I could travel to see them. It's just going to be a little more complicated.
But you would already be committed before finding that out?
Yes. I think when they tell you your job, they will know how long you have to go to school for, and that's one of the things that you find out before you make the commitment. So if they say, hey, this is your job, however, you're going to be in school for, you know, only 4 or 4.5 months, your family can't come with you, then I have to decide if that's not worth it to me, or say it's a really, really good job, then I have to decide if 4.5 months, you know, if we could work around that. But yeah, that's something that we'll know before we make the decision to sign on the dotted line or not.
Right. Well, so like we said before, like, you know, the military is number one, and everybody has to adapt to the military mm-hmm. once you commit to it. And so, you know, and as I mentioned before, I don't want to be hypocritical. So if you were a man doing this, I mean, the family has to sacrifice and move wherever you are and support you. Is your family willing to sacrifice and support you in this? Because, I mean, that's a long time. The 8 weeks of basic training with no contact, because mm-hmm. they're training you. Basically, that's what they're doing, is getting you in shape for what they need you to do.
Physically and mentally.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then in the technical school, like you said, after that. So that's we're talking almost, you know, over half a year for this to be committed up front, let alone once you, you know, that's before you even get the job.
Hey, Kevin. Hello. He's on.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, how are you, Kevin?
Fine, how are you?
Good. You're on with Emily.
Hey, Emily, how are you? Hey, I just wanted to add a comment to the whole process. Once you take that test and they do your physical, that's when the recruiter's with you. And as soon as you get those assignments, that's when the recruiters do their high-pressure selling.
Okay.
Their job's to get you in the service.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all they do is try to give you an assignment that fits you, basically. But that's when the high pressure really kicks in. They want you to sign. They need you to sign to get their quota. And they also give you your assignment where different places you can go. And you don't really know where you're going to go until after you're finished with your training.
So they'll pull something like, and this job is available in beautiful Miami, Florida, in luxurious Honolulu, Hawaii, and also Bismarck, North Dakota. But you can end up in Miami or Hawaii right. or North Dakota.
Or Enid, Oklahoma.
They give you like three or four places where you could end up. You know, one of them could be overseas, one of them could be California, one of them could be Texas. But then again, these aren't the greatest places on the planet you want to be. I mean, you go to Fort Riley, Kansas for a year and a half for training, and by the time you leave Kansas, you're ready to get out of there, and wherever they send you, you're ready to go.
That's a good trick, actually. Yeah.
Make you so miserable in a small town that you're willing to go wherever they take you.
Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Good.
Good. You got some advice for Emily?
Yeah, I joined the military in 2002, and when I went in there, I pretty much told my recruiter what I wanted, where I wanted, and what I wanted to do. For example, I wanted to be a military police officer. I wanted Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I wanted airborne school and a signing bonus. I took my test, qualified for everything, got the MEP, sat down, talked to the other recruiter, because there's two recruiters involved.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I can get you everything you want, but this and this and this. I said, well, I'm not joining. Well, I sat there probably about 6 hours that day, and eventually they're going to get you what you want. So don't let them say you don't qualify for something, because I guarantee you, if you tell them you're not going to join, 100% of the time they're going to get you what you want to make you happy.
Provided
so you do have negotiating power.
Yes, you do. You have 100% negotiating power, because you're not in the military until you raise your right hand and you say that oath. And don't do that until you're 100% sure you know what you want to do.
Good advice.
Good advice for you, Emily.
Yeah, well, one of the main things I was concerned with was the job category. I would love to have something in the medical field, because that's where I've done my studies. I have some, you know, some background in that, and he pretty much told me that everybody wants to do medical, so my chance of landing a medical job was pretty much non-existent. So maybe I could use that advice that the last caller was saying on, you know, when I do get there, just pretty much demanding that I get placed in a medical job. I do have enough college credits to where I don't have to start at the bottom level. I can start a few levels up on the ranking and the pay grade, which I thought was pretty cool. But that was really the only issue we had, was that because of the field I wanted to go into, that everybody wanted to do it, and I pretty much was going to get something really basic, and I don't want to be stuck doing that for 4 years, you know? I don't want to be a janitor or sit at a desk all day long, and so...
Well, how is your husband feeling?
I think he's pretty much the same position I am. I don't really think he grasps how much of a change it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think from his standpoint, it's like, it's all good. You know, I'm going to be making tons of money. We're going to get to move. He's not going to have the pressure of, you know, wondering if I'm going to be able to find a job or not. I just don't think he fully understands what it's going to involve. And I keep trying to tell him, like, you know, I'm going to be gone for that whole time. You're not going to have anyone to, you know, watch our child. You're not going to get a break. It's going to be pretty much you the whole time. And, you know, I said, it's just going to be a lot different. So I'm trying to make sure he grasps that, and he's 100% okay with that.
Oh, yeah. You better.
Yeah.
You better before you raise your right hand.
Well, keep Tracy posted as to all the, you know, steps and the progress that you're making, and we will follow up with you very soon. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And we also will want to talk to your husband at some point, too, and have your husband be on and be a part of that.
The Burt Show.
So Wendy brought up something in our meeting the other day. She got some advice. I don't know if you said if it was good or bad, but she got some advice, which is cool. But she got it completely anonymously.
Very anonymously. I was just browsing through my MySpace over the weekend, and I pull up this email. Usually I don't even open emails with people who don't have pictures on their MySpace, or I usually just click on the profile to see what this, like, the people are all about. Well, this one had no photo, no info, no friends, no nothing. There is nothing about this person. It's completely anonymous, and lately I've been just kind of, like, down now about myself and about life, and I don't have a boyfriend. I've been single for the longest period I've ever been single for. So just been down about life. And I opened this email and it really like hit home and like struck a nerve. And it's something I needed to read. And it's really good advice. You want me to read the email?
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, I can read it. I have it up.
And I think the most fascinating part about this is this: it came completely anonymously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is pretty
interesting. Nothing.
And we're going to, I'm assuming that after you read it, is the assumption you made this person knew you more than just being a radio personality? Like,
yeah, it even says in the email that they don't know who I am.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Huh. It's wow. Really strangely bizarre. Okay.
God is on MySpace.
Yeah,
that's what I thought as soon as I read it. I had to take a moment and just step back from the computer and was like, wow, like I don't know where this came from or anything, but this is what the email
Jesus
said.
Jesus is super poking.
It says, I don't know who you are, what your story is, or how you got to wherever you are in your life right now. I don't know anything about you, but I do know that I hope you have a wonderful life and that it is filled with happiness and joy. I hope that you find someone, if you have not already, that is like-minded, someone that you can fall for and that will take care of you and give you all the things that you need. I will probably never meet you or talk to you, but I want you to know that there is someone out there that cares about you and your well-being as a fellow person, and that sincerely hopes that your road of life is smooth and straight. I hope that you can take this message to heart and see that it was written with sincerity and unconditional love. I hope you live life and live it abundantly.
Aww.
And
wow.
There's no name.
That's pretty deep for being.
Yeah, there's no name, no nothing, no more info about who I am. And I responded, I was like, thank you, whoever you are. And I was like I even asked, I'm like, Do I know you? And I only got one like response back, and this is what it said. Don't thank me. God told me to write it to you. I don't know why. Just listen. I don't know. I just know this message is for you. Take care.
Wow.
And they're still
never identified themselves.
There's still to this day no picture, no info. Like the age says like 100. So I mean on the profile, so it's completely anonymous and out of the woodwork. But I just stepped back from this email and I was like, nothing could have, like, no one could have said these words to me unless I just read them on the screen. And I was like, it's something I really needed to hear and just brightened up my day. And I'm like, wow.
Made you feel better?
Yeah, it made me feel better about, like, where I am in life. And, like, I just need to take a step back and just do things day to day. Yeah, so.
It's like you almost don't want to find out who sent it.
Yeah. No, yeah.
It's almost better remaining anonymous, you know?
The way that, like, I think.
This is serendipity, too.
Well, it seriously would lose its magic if. Mm-hmm. You found out where it came from, because then you would start analyzing what the motivation was and why they did it and what, you know, what their intentions were. But I mean, that's pretty heavy. God just told me to write it. Dan, do you guys think that was somebody who knew her and who's made the decision and knows that it's more special if they're completely anonymous?
I almost don't want to analyze it. You know, I almost want to just keep it.
Cause it could have been, I mean, it random. Was, you know, simple enough that it could have been sent to several people. You know what I mean? It could have been someone that was sending it and, you know, feeling like reaching out to a lot of different friends on their MySpace or something. But it's strange that it's anonymous and it wasn't someone that had a picture.
Yeah, no picture.
Or
like
anything like
that.
This
is the profile. I'm showing Melissa the page. Like
very plain. Like
there's
almost
nothing. No friends. No comments.
When you first sign up, it's the blank page. No background. No nothing. Just everything blank.
Just Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
The
star.
Here's my thing. And I've thought about doing this and people are analyzing it now, trying to decipher it. Hey, Heidi.
Hi.
What's up?
I think from the words that were used and some of the phraseology that it was written by a woman. Like, I hope you fall for. I don't think that's an expression that a man would use. And I don't know if that makes a difference to you, Wendy, but it just seems like something that a sensitive woman wrote.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, yeah. I'm looking at the profile again, and it has, like, the one thing it has on it is the zodiac sign, so I don't know if I'm going to analyze this profile even more, because it's just a strange email. It says Capricorn, and Capricorn's in the middle of, like, December and January.
Right.
And, like, Christmas is in between there, so, I mean, just falls on, like, God's Day on Christmas.
That's actually the generic, if you don't put your birth date on there, it just
defaults to Capricorn.
She was trying to make it all special and like, oh my God, Sean. It really could be from God, and then you just, whatever. Wah, wah, wah.
I think, I have considered before where there are people who have adjustments that I think they need in their life, but it would be inappropriate for me to share them with them. I think I have before thought about possibly creating an email account and sending them a totally anonymous email. But the fear of ever being found out has prevented me from doing that.
Like someone that would, like your boss or something, or someone that would have like
maybe somebody that I work with. maybe somebody that I know. Yeah, it's actually been mainly, it's mainly been professional advice. The couple of times I've thought of doing it where I'm like, God, you know what? I think this person's really hindering themselves professionally because of these behaviors. And it would be totally
helpful
if I just let them know that they could do this. But then my fear is that they would get all analytical.
Right.
And try to translate it or be able to decipher it and lead it back to me.
Figure out who registered for the account or whatever.
Right.
Well, now, though, if anybody you know gets random business advice,
right,
they know it's you.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what do you want to tell us, Jeff? Come on.
Yeah. What is it you want to say?
I don't think I've ever done anything wrong. I honestly don't think it's ever been anyone in this room. I don't think. And I haven't thought about it and doing it in like a couple years, but I just remember I was obsessed with it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, my fear is that it would backfire, but I was obsessed with just sending people advice and go, you know what? This is what you do and this is how you behave, and I think things would go differently if you behaved this way.
And if I had gotten any sort of like anonymous advice like that was real specific, you know, it's someone around you that knows you or
the
is watching,
circle.
Yeah, watching you or working with you. So my obsession wouldn't be within the advice; it would be with finding out who sent it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you might almost miss the message.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about this particular email, when I go out and when I'm hanging out with my friends, I mean, I'm having a good time. It's when I get home where I'm just like, I kind of think about things and I stress out. So that's why this email, really, nobody would have really known unless I knew you like my best friend. But my best friend would tell me advice, not send me an anonymous email about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just bizarre.
Hey, Bonita, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm good. I just want to comment. I just want to let y'all know God does work in mysterious ways. And maybe everybody shouldn't be analyzing it. Just let her enjoy it and take it for what it's worth. And Melissa said, God's on my space. Well, God is everywhere.
I was on Facebook, too.
Yeah. just enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm curious on who wrote it, but I'm just gonna let it go at this point. So
I think it's really cool. Yeah.
Hey, Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Don't joke about God.
Well, good morning. The last caller kind of took the words out of my mouth. I don't overanalyze it. Just enjoy, because you'll take the power away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Just take it as, you know, some people just love doing random acts of kindness.
That's true.
And so the last caller just kind of stole that for me, but I just love calling the show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So my 17-year-old could freak out that I'm on the radio. Enjoy it.
My thought would be this. Even if it came to like millions of people, like it was some, you know, generic spam type message that a ton of other people got, like there is a reason you're one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason that that message got to you. So what if it was sent to a million people, but it was only meant to help three and you're one of those three? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so true.
Take it for what it's worth. It's all getting deep in the secret. Using the secret.
Or we have to say, Bert's, you know, on vacation, so we have to at least use the word destiny. It was destiny that you got that email.
Just MySpace message.
Unless that encourages you to go out this weekend, meet a boy, start a relationship with him, and it doesn't work out well at all, then that message is immediately going to become fake.
It does say live life.
There you go.
Hey.
This is The Bert Show.